Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over the word right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. And we thank you for your precious word. And I thank you tonight. I pray tonight, Father. I believe you put this message in my heart. And I just pray for the Holy Spirit to just move on us and strengthen us for the days ahead and cause us to seek your face like we never have before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just before I came in, I was tidying up my message, and I kind of lost everything. I don't know. I pressed something. I thought I pressed the right button, and it all of a sudden, it's going to come how it's going to come. Amen. I believe that God will show us. I try to fix it, and if I have to go to my phone for scriptures, I will, okay? So tonight, we're going to talk about seeking God in our life. Because time seeking God is the most valuable thing that you can do in your life. It is the most precious thing that you can do. And many, many, many people, I hear people talk all the time, we don't have time, Pastor Judy. We're so busy. We work 40 hours. We work 60 hours. We have to do this. We have 5 kids. We have 10 kids. I just cannot find the time. We have the time. Yes, we have the time. We have the time. We have the time to watch the news. We have the time to many people, they watch silly sitcoms on TV, and but we have the time. Amen? And I want to start out with Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And don't let the enemy deceive you that you don't have the time. Listen, everybody has a busy life. I got to preach to myself, too. I get busy, too. I mean, I've been up since 5 this morning, and it'd been busy all day between church and studying and so forth. We can have the time. It's where our priorities are. It's where does our priority lay? And let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 here. Jesus told the disciples, he said, couldn't you just tarry with me 1 hour? Couldn't even the disciples had a problem. When Jesus was sweating drops of blood, when Jesus was over praying, he asked them to tarry with them, to wait for 1 hour. And look at what, when Jesus came back to the disciples, they were asleep. And it says, then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Couldn't you do this just for 1 hour? And then he goes on in verse 41 and he says, keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak. Jesus told his disciples, he said, keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. Temptation to doubt. Temptation to walk away from the things of God. Temptation to let sin take you away. I mean, there's just so much temptation in the world to not put God first. And so even they had, problems with that. And they had to learn to pray. They had to learn to put their priorities straight. You read the book of Acts, and they were always in prayer. They were always seeking the face of God for the plan of God. They had to hear what the Holy Spirit was saying. They had to hear where they were supposed to go, and which city they needed to go to next, and all of the different things that they needed to pray for. But it's time to wake ourselves up and stir ourselves up to pray. Amen? Not just to pray, but to seek his face. To seek his face. You know, we sing that song, Show Me Your Face. And I'm telling you, for weeks, it just has been rolling in my spirit. And it's just, God is just calling us to seek him and who he is. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7, it says, and I'll tell you, I get the best media team up there. I send them all kinds of scriptures and in all different order. But thank you guys for fixing it up for me. Isaiah 64:7 says this, and there is no one who calls on your name. Can you imagine for God to say that to a people? And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and you have consumed us because of our iniquities. You know, there was saying here, no one is stirring themselves up. That's what the problem with a lot of people. They won't stir themselves up to pray. We have to stir ourselves up. We have the Bible. We have to stir ourselves. We have to. There's got to be an action that comes from us. A lot of times we're just waiting for the Holy Spirit to fall and move on us or wake us up at, you know, when our alarm goes off at 4:30, we're waiting for God to just to shake us. But we have to do something. Amen? And a lot of people aren't seeing answers to prayer. The Bible says in James 4:2 that you have not because you ask not. Amen? It's time to ask God. God wants us to speak to him. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to ask him things. Amen? This scripture in Isaiah, it says, first of all, nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants to stir themselves up to take a hold of God. And God hid himself. He hid his face. I'm telling you, every single day, the enemy will challenge you. He'll challenge you for the rest of your life. He will convince you that you're wasting your time praying. He will give you every reason not to seek the face of God. But prayer has an amazing power if you'll stay with it. Prayer will change everything, no matter what the enemy says. He'll tell you, you know, oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you're wasting your time. Oh, God doesn't hear your prayers. Or that doesn't really work. That's not really what the Bible says. He will bring every thought. But I'm telling you, there is power in prayer. There is power, we're going to see through the Word of God, when we seek the face of God, when we press into the face of God. You know, so many people give up. We should never give up. Never give up praying for our children. Never give up praying for a son who needs deliverance from drugs or a daughter who needs Christ. Or maybe you need a miracle in your home. And sometimes it might take years, but do not give up. Amen? Because if you give up, you lose. I was thinking about just there's a lot of situations going on in the world today, you know, and sometimes I say, God, how long is this going to last? But then I look in the Bible and there were situations that took 40 years and 70 years and all of these different things, but they didn't give up and God came through. Amen? And it's important, and I'm going to hit some things a little bit heavy tonight, but it's important to pray every day because I find out when you miss one day, you lose. You have to pray daily. I know that everybody has their opinions. Oh, well, you know, just pray when you're riding in your car. Just, you know, we can talk to God all the time. But I believe you need to take some time with God every day to give him your undivided attention. We talk about having quality time with our kids and quality time with our spouse. What about quality time with God? Amen? If we don't spend time daily with God, we get rusty. Amen? And you know what happens? I don't know about you, but when we don't spend daily time with God, we have difficulty finding God because we missed a day or two. You know what continual communion means? Continual prayer, it means fast entrance. When you skip a few days, it takes a little bit time. You have to kind of like have some warm-up sessions with God. How many of you have played a sport and you throw a baseball or a football or you're shooting a basketball? If you don't warm up, you end up hurting your arm. I've done that so many times, you know. So we always have to have these warm-up sessions with God. But when you talk to God daily, you're in there quickly. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know I'm not talking about something strange here. Daily contact means no waiting necessary. But if you don't talk to God daily, you seem to wait longer before you get into that presence. And then one day goes to 2 days. And 2 days goes to 3 days. And then you're like, oh, you know, and then you're getting back in the presence of God. Listen, you can call upon God any time of the day, any moment of the day, any time of the day. We speak the word all the time around our house, in our car. We just let it come out of our mouth. Amen. But there's time that you need to seek the face of God. We all need to seek the face of God. So daily contact, listen, it is critical when it comes to the power of God in your life. Trust me, I've experienced that. I've experienced times when I didn't pray, and then it just, oh my gosh, you feel like you got to start all over again, but you really don't, but you feel that way. I'm not saying you do have to start all over again. I'm not saying you do have to go through warm-up sessions, but you do. You do it. You just do it because of your feelings. So prayer is the most heavenly and the most important spiritual function in your Christian life. Amen? And you cannot take it lightly. I think people have gotten lightly on prayer. When's the last time you talked to God? When you don't pray, you open the door for the enemy. See, prayer keeps the door closed. But when you don't pray, he doesn't even have to push it open. It's just open. When you're not standing on the word of God, when you're wondering why things are hectic in your life, but I believe that prayer can literally shut Satan out of your life. Amen. But you've got to pray. Amen? When you're prayerful, Satan is weak. When you're prayerless, when you're prayerful, Satan, yeah, he's weak. When you're prayerless, Satan is strong. He gets a foothold in. Amen? So it's like this, when we don't pray, we empower the enemy. And we have to realize we do have an enemy. Satan is an enemy. He's 24/7. And when we don't pray, we're just kind of letting him run rampant. We might even think, oh, I haven't been praying, but everything just seems to be so cool in my life. Be careful what you say. Amen. But when we pray, we empower God and we empower the angels in heaven. Amen. The angels become stronger when we pray. Let's look at Psalm 103:20. Let's see what happens when we pray. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word." I'm reading this in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. "Who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." In the New Living, it says, "Praise the Lord, you angels of his, you mighty creatures who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands." So the New Living says, listening for each of his commands, and the New King James says, heeding the voice of his word. Who is speaking his word? We are. When we're not in prayer, when we're not speaking his word, the angels are not moving on our behalf. They heed to the voice of God. They heed to the voice of the word of God. Amen? The word of God is alive and full of power. God said his word is above his name. When we speak his word, we are allowing power to come forth. Amen? And we learn to pray. And in our prayer time, we learn to pray the word of God. We learn to speak what God says. You know, I love that. It says, that word, it says, bless the Lord. In Psalm 103, it says, where it says, in the New King James, it says, who excel in strength. That word excel means to strengthen at the sound of his word. Who is praying his word? The angels are strengthened at the sound of God's word. When you're speaking protection over your life, when you're speaking the blood of Jesus, when you're declaring and decreeing the blessings of God, when you're praying over your children, the angels are strengthened and they're fighting for you and they're moving in your behalf. When you're praying, when you seek his face. Amen? Let's look at what David said in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. David couldn't do what he could do without God. When David showed up and he took care of Goliath, he He was able to do that because he was filled with the Word of God. He was seeking God out there in the desert. Amen? In Psalm 63, 1 through 3, it says, "Oh God," this is David talking. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you." Now, I don't know, some of you might work overnight shifts, but whatever early is to you, early will I seek you. And then he says, "My soul thirsts for you." These words are so powerful. They're so impacting. "My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Everybody's looking for God's power. Everybody's looking for his glory. We want to see it manifested, and we know it's his will for it to be manifested. Amen? He said, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Look at those words that David is using. He said, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh is yearning. It's longing for you." Does that describe your relationship with God? Does your soul long for him? Are you seeking him? The word "seek" is found 313 times in the Bible. And that word "seek" means to aggressively pursue. Aggressively pursue. It's not laid back. It's not casual. It's not, "I'm here, touch me if you want to, God. Move on me, God." But to seek is to aggressively pursue. And we must seek God in these times. Amen? Many need to rearrange their priorities on their daily routine. We must seek God. This is a time where, I mean, we should always be seeking God, but we're looking at the world and wonder what's going on, or what's going on in our children's life, and what's going on over here. And this is a time and a season that it is very important that we ought to be seeking God, and we should not be laid back about our Christianity. Amen? Seeking God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And there's so many scriptures. I may continue this series, but there's just, God is constantly talking. He wants his people to seek him. He wants to spend time. He wants to come and be it. He wants his presence to be with us. Amen? He wants us. He's always calling for us to seek him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him." You know, some people say, "I can't feel God anymore," or, "I don't really have his, you know, when I'm praying at home, it's so dry." Seek him. Open up your Bible. He'll speak to you. Amen? It says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul." Not lackadaisical, not casual. And a lot of the seeking of God is this casual thing. "Well, God loves me, and, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ," and, you know, we're not pursuing him with a longing in our heart. David had that relationship with God, and yet he was still longing and thirsting for God. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Let's look at Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Oh Lord, you have never abandoned anyone who searches for you." Are you seeking God? Are you searching for him on a daily basis? Are you opening his word? And do you have his ear tuned into hearing him, into hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say? You may feel forsaken, but if you'll seek God, you'll find him. You might feel like God's not with you. You might feel like you've just been so bad that he's, but if you will seek God, you will find him. We need to aggressively pursue the Lord. I feel the anointing. I felt it when I was studying. There's just certain messages, and I know this has been rolling around for a couple of weeks, and it just... Uh-oh. Am I okay? Everything okay there? I don't know what I did, but I just had an itch. I think better fix it. I don't know what's going on, but it's good, right? All right. Let's look at Psalm 14:2. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if there is even one with real understanding, one who seeks for God." God's looking for those. God looks for people who seek him. Let's look at what David said in Psalm 27:8. He said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Oh, if we could just be obedient like David was. Now, David wasn't perfect, but he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord, and God used him mightily. God used him mightily. He had a heart after God. He's the only man in the Bible that it says that about. But we kind of come to church. We're a Christian. We have our ticket. We're going to heaven. We're all set, but we're not seeking God. God has more for us. He has more for us to do. There's so much power that we should be operating in, but we're not operating in. Is this bouncing off of something? You sure? Okay, it sounds funny to me. But there's just so much more. He wants to manifest his healing power. He wants to see you prosper. He wants to see the world saved. Amen? But unless we seek his face, how can we be led and directed of him? We have all of the examples all through the Bible, including in the book of Acts. And and there were so many times people just stepped out and they didn't seek God and they messed up things, didn't they? There's so many broken families and homes. But to the individual who seeks the Lord, the Bible says God will be a father to you. He'll be a mother to you. He'll be a provider to you. It doesn't matter. You know, we can all look back and we can all have a sad story. We all got things that have happened in our life. And some of them with great impact. We live in this world and there's been crazy things. But if we seek the Lord, God will be a father to us. He'll be a provider for us. He'll be the door opener. Amen? And he will bless our life. He'll be the spouse that we need. He'll be whatever it is that we need. When you seek the Lord, you'll begin to hear him whisper in your ear again. God is saying to some of you tonight, will you seek my face? He's saying, I miss you. You're not where you started out. He's saying, will you seek my face? It's been a while. It's been a long time. See, you don't have to answer to me about your prayer life or anybody else, but God knows where you are. And he's saying, I miss you. I miss you seeking my face. I miss you laying down before me and worshiping me. I miss you hearing from me. And I miss hearing from you. Amen? He wants us to seek him. And I'm simply asking you tonight, how is your seeking going? How is it going? Many of you may have asked God, can I keep going? Can I keep going like this? Can I still do this? So I've done that. I've gotten anxious about things and building, you know, the church, the vision, looking for all of the things. And I think, God, you know, can I still do this? Can I do this? You know, like, I just want to seek him. I want to be in the right place. I want him to have his will done. I want things to, I want him to make an impact in New England. I don't want to ever get in God's way. Amen? And sometimes I ask him, I say, you know, God, can I do this? And you know what he says to me? If you seek me, you can. If you seek me, you can. If you seek God, you can do anything. Let's look at a scripture in 29:11. A lot of people like this verse. And we know the first part of the verse, but it's all anchored and connected to one thing. You don't just get it automatically. Let's look at this, okay? Let's see. Here we are. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Aren't you glad that God's not a big, mean God? Yes. He's not mean. He's not mad at you. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world." Amen? His love is exponential. It is like the greatest love of all. And the Bible says that it's an everlasting love. And so he's saying, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let's all say the next word. Then. Amen. Say then. Amen. It says, "Then you will call upon me." Say, "Call upon me." "And go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me," say, "seek me, and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Verse 14 says, "I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from where I caused you to be carried away captive." But he says, you know, we talk about the good things. You know, we quote that scripture all the time. God has a big plan for your life. He said, "I have it. I have hope. I have a plan. I have it all figured out. But you'll find it when you seek me. You'll find it when you seek me and search for me with all your heart." And I want to tell you, God hasn't changed his mind. God doesn't say, "Oh, well, you know, when you were 20, I was going to do this, but, you know, you've gone 10 years and you didn't seek me, and so now I got to change the plan." No, no, God hasn't changed his plan. God hasn't changed his plan. He has a plan. He didn't care. He didn't look at age. He doesn't look at anything. He doesn't look at age. He doesn't look at color. He doesn't look at gender. He doesn't look at anything. Amen? He has a plan. But you will find it. The key to finding the will of God, the direction of God for the rest of your life, the plan of God, that is your future, it is predicated upon seeking him. And I know there are churches everywhere. There are people in churches everywhere. And people go every day without prayer. Without seeking him. It's a relationship. I was talking to somebody recently who grew up in church and things happened and they left the church and different things in the family and the husband and the wife, just situation. They just got a sour pill in their mouth about church or whatever, but they just, you know, but they didn't really have that relationship with God. And now they're experiencing a whole new relationship with God. Their whole life is changing. And when I was talking to them, they said, it's not religion anymore. It's real. And God is real to me. And it's just changing their whole life. We've had religion. Many of us grew up with it, even those that weren't born again, but some people that are saved even are just kind of go along. Okay, it's just, you know, church and good, and we're going to heaven. God's wanting you to seek him. When you seek God, there is something powerful that will be released in your life. When you not seek him casually, when you give of your time, "God, I really would love to sleep this extra hour in the morning. Oh, it just feels so good to me." Go to bed an hour earlier. Do something. Make seeking God a priority. Make seeking his face. He wants to be alive to you. He wants you to be in love with him. He wants to see you seeking him. When you seek him, you will find him. He is paying attention to those that seek him. And I think this is the last scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter, it's next to last scripture. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 3 through 5, about Uzziah, King Uzziah. It says, "Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. But the next verse is important. It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He sought God. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. God will give you great understanding when you seek him. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God made him to prosper. When you prosper God ways, you'll be really prospering. You think you're prospering now. But you start seeking the Lord and see what happens. You start seeking the Lord and see what happens. It said, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. I want my worship team to get ready. It says this, I'm going to read it in two different translations. One is the New King James Version. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. I'm going to set my alarm. I'm not going to bed tonight till I pray that hour. I don't know when you pray, or I'm not saying that an hour is the law or anything like that, but you know what? All of this Russian stuff and this casual stuff, yes, God loves you. Yes, he cares for you. Yes, his word is working when it comes out of your mouth, but God is looking for all of us. He told Peter, could you not tarry with me? Could you not pray 1 hour? And then he said to be careful, because when we're not praying, that's the open door for the enemy. And here he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God wants us to seek his face. I challenge you to go through the word of God and do a study on seeking the face of God. It's amazing. And turn from their wicked ways. You can't turn from the wicked ways, from your wicked ways on your own. But as you're seeking God, all of a sudden you have the strength to walk away from those wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let's look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says, we can get ready. I don't know where my worship team is. They're up here? Okay, they're all hiding in the back. It says, if my people who are called by my name, are you called by his name? Yeah. See, we're his people. He's asking his people to seek him. That's crazy. God shouldn't have to ask us to seek him. He's asking his people to seek him. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Now look at the rest of this in the Amplified. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek and crave and require of necessity my face. I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, man, I don't know if I ever slept. I remember going on a mission field. I couldn't even, that's where I met Pastor Ed. I met him on the mission field. And he started walking with me and teaching me the Bible. And he would say, and this is how you meditate. And he gave me his Kenneth Hagin Bible. And he said, you got to meditate on this scripture. The first scripture was Isaiah 43:19. I always remember that. And he said, and so I would go, everybody would be sleeping. And we had to go across the border every night, and we were in this church, and everybody would be in their bags on the church floor and their sleeping bags. And man, I would be up all night long just meditating on that one verse. I just wanted God so much. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know anything. But I was so hungry. I was seeking. I was craving. I was requiring of necessity God. I remember the hunger and the thirst. And then I'd come home, and I was working two jobs. And every time I was either in church or I was sitting in some parking lot in my car just praying and seeking God. That craving. And I can remember times when I went days without praying, and I'd get rusty and I'd feel guilty and I'd have to do those warm-up sessions. And they were not fun. Even though we can walk right into the presence of God and he forgives us. Even though when we apply the blood, he looks at us through the blood. He's not waiting for us to do penance. He made a way for us to come boldly. But yet our flesh just, it just doesn't feel right. You know, well, I better, I'll read my Bible for this long. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll put some worship music on for this. No, no. And I can remember when we moved, when we lived in Fresno, I remember I was up every morning from like 4:30 to, I don't know, it was about 4 hours because I didn't have to be work till 8:30. But man, I wouldn't miss that morning time. I had books everywhere and just praying and seeking. All I wanted was God. All I wanted was God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. God says he misses you. He misses that time. He misses that time of you seeking his face. He's saying, come on. But he says here, he says, if you will humble yourselves and pray and seek and crave, God knows your heart. He knows if you're just coming in because this is duty time. He knows if you're just coming in because, you know, oh, well, you know, I got to pray for my family or if it's fear time, if I don't pray, you know, whatever. He knows if you're seeking and craving and requiring of necessity his face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I will hear from heaven. And God is not a man that he should lie. I can show you that in scripture. It says, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land, heal their homes. God is wanting to show up in a big way. We think we love God, and God has showed up in so many ways. But I think we're on like the 5% scale. God wants to see. He wants to show up 100% in our life. He wants to show up big. He loves us, and he loves when we seek him. He loves when we search for him. He loves when we want him. We need to have some passion toward God. Amen? We need to have more passion toward God than we have for the food that we eat. I mean, I bet I can make you hungry for fleshly food right now. God wants us to be hungry for him. I ask Alice to sing the song tonight.